some truly iconic Celtic figures have been known by simply one name. Caesar, Jinky, Patsy, and Henrik being some such examples. However, one celebrated Celt is often remembered by his three formal names, Charles Patrick Tully, or, more plainly, Charlie Tully. An iconic Celt in the early 1950s, involved in numerous club and personal achievements, this is his story. On the 11th of July 1924, Tully was born into a large working-class family in Belfast. His family faced poverty problems, including when his father lost a shipyard job due to religious discrimination. As someone from a relatively poor background, like so many Catholics in Belfast in this era, he saw sport as a route out of this and into a better life. From a young age, Tully's athletic prowess was clearly evident. He was a promising Gaelic footballer and hurler, but these would not define his life. Instead, it was his footballing skill that would become most significant. This brought him to the attention of the first Celtic that would shape his life, Belfast Celtic. By the late 1930s, just as Europe was gearing up for a devastating war, Tully became an apprentice at Belfast Celtic Park. The early stages of his career were mixed. As with all apprentices, he was expected to do basic tasks, such as cleaning the facilities, but when he did play, he would demonstrate his sporting potential. It was also not unknown that he would show himself to be a headstrong figure, not afraid to argue his case or opinion. This is something that would follow him throughout his life. By 1941, when aged just 17, he first turned out for the Belfast Celts. This didn't see him become a first-team regular straight away, partly due to spells of illness. He also spent some time on loan at Cliftonville. By the end of the Second World War in 1945, he soon became a mainstay of the Belfast side, at a time of notable success for them. He scored the winning goal in the 1947 Irish Cup final, and was also crucial to the club's Irish League triumph in 1947-48. Despite this success, Belfast Celtic faced many challenges. In an increasingly sectarian city, Celtic were hated by many people who saw them as a symbol of Catholicism and an Irish Republic. As a consequence, by the early 1950s, the club withdrew from the Irish League and soon disappeared from view. But before that happened, Charlie Tully had already departed Belfast and Irish football. His performances in Belfast Celtic's colours had caught the attention of bigger clubs. Numerous English sides, including Liverpool, Manchester United and Wolves, had considered signing him, although his periods of illness put them off. Instead, Charlie stayed at a club called Celtic, but swapped cities. In June 1948, he moved to Glasgow's East End for a fee of approximately £8,000, which was a notable sum at the time. His arrival came during a difficult period for the Scottish version of Celtic, which had only narrowly avoided relegation 2 months beforehand. His first time pulling on the famous green and white hoops in Glasgow was the 14th of August 1948. This came in a goalless league draw against Morton, where there was little to excite the support, including Tully's debut. But within a month, fans began to see signs that this new signing would have a major influence. In September 1948, he put in a standout performance as Celtic beat Rangers 3-1 in the League Cup, and he was clearly Celtic's star of the season, albeit one that ended without any national silverware. So popular did Tully become that the idea of Tully Mania was often spoken about. Numerous things were named after the Celt, including cocktails, clothes, and even an ice cream. In fact, one well-known joke at the time emphasised Tully's fame. The Celts travelled to Rome in 1950 for a friendly with Lazio. Some people amusingly claimed that when Tully got an audience with the Pope, many people were asking who it was that was standing with the Celt. 2 months after his Celtic debut, Charlie also first represented Northern Ireland. This ended in a 6-2 loss to England. Over the years, he played internationally on 10 occasions, including memorably scoring straight from a corner kick against England. During his 11-year spell at Celtic, from 1948 to 1959, Tully made over 200 league appearances and contributed to a number of major successes. The 1950s was a mixed time for Celtic. The club enjoyed a record of trophy wins that most other clubs would envy, but was below the type of success that would come to be expected in Glasgow's East End. Charlie was part of the Celtic team that won the 1951 and 1954 Scottish Cup. Each of these had their own importance. The 1951 victory marked Celtic's first major trophy win since 1938 and was wildly celebrated. Following this success, Charlie and the rest of his teammates were off to North America. For the first time in two decades, Celtic made the long journey to play games in the USA and Canada. One part of this trip saw arguments with Celtic chairman Robert Kelly about player payments, Tully being part of these discussions. Charlie's second Scottish Cup medal came in 1954. It was one part of Celtic's first League and Cup double in three decades. It would also be the boys' last title until Jock Stein arrived as manager and delivered the league flag in 1966. Of all Charlie Tully's memorable on-field moments, the Scottish Cup was responsible for arguably the most famous of these. In February 1953, Celtic travelled to Brockville for a cup game. By half-time, Falkirk led by two goals, and it seemed that the Celts' involvement in that season's competition had reached its conclusion. That is, until Charlie stepped in to change things. Celtic were awarded a second-half corner. Charlie put down the ball and curled it straight into the net. However, the linesman said the ball had not been placed correctly and so the set piece needed to be retaken. At which point, Tully simply did it again. Celtic then went on to win 3-2. Furthermore, Charlie helped the Celts win the 1956 and 1957 League Cup. The 1956 victory was the first time Celtic had ever won this event, and the 1957 match has gone down in history for the memorable Celtic 7 Rangers 1 result, still a British final record. In fact, this famous scoreline might not have actually happened. In the lead-up to the match, there had been some bad blood in the Celtic dressing room. Tully had an argument with fellow Celt Bobby Evans, which resulted in the two men fighting. Fortunately, the team quickly got over this. As well as Scotland's main domestic competitions, Tully also contributed to notable Celtic moments in other tournaments. He appeared in every round as Celtic won the 1951 St Mungo Cup, which was held as part of that year's Festival of Britain. The final of this competition showed Charlie's cheeky nature, but also intelligence. With the match tied at 0-0, he went to take a throw-in and deliberately threw the ball off the back of an Aberdeen player, thus winning the Celts a corner. Tully himself took this and Sean Fallon knocked home the winning goal. He also played in the first two rounds of the famous 1953 Coronation Cup, although unfortunately injury prevented him from turning out in the final when Celtic beat Hibs to take the trophy back to Celtic Park. As well as these on-field successes, there's one part of Celtic heritage that has been attributed to Charlie Tully. Some lyrics in the famous Celtic song as sung by Glenn Daly. When the song was being recorded, Daly said he was struggling to find the best words for some verses. He recalled attending a social event where Charlie Tully sang a Belfast Celtic song and incorporated some of these lines into the Glasgow Celtic tune. In every sense, Charlie was a popular Celt. On the pitch, his skill and flair made him a natural hero for the supporters that stood on Celtic's terracing, and his teammates got on well with his friendly character and nature. However, he wasn't without criticism. Whilst admired for his abilities, he was sometimes accused of needing to be more of a team player, whether contributing to defensive duties or sharing the ball with those other men that were wearing green and white. By the late 1950s, Charlie's time at Celtic was drawing to a close. He published an autobiography called Pass to You, and there were suggestions that senior figures in the club were not happy with the content of this. In September 1959, to his great disappointment, he was granted a free transfer after more than a decade in Glasgow. But this didn't spell the end of his time in football. Following his exit from Celtic, he joined Cork Hibernians, acting as player manager. He even managed to take his team to the final of the Football Association of Ireland Cup, but lost out to Shelburne in Dublin. He soon announced his playing retirement so he could concentrate on the management side of the game. As well as taking charge of an Irish League XI, He also worked for Bangor, whom he led to the County Antrim Shield in 1970, one of the club's first senior honours. Interestingly, one of his players at this time was Eamon Farrell, who later became father to Hollywood actor Colin Farrell. Tully also had a spell at Portadown from 1965 to 1966. His family claimed that politics was what ended his time there. Charlie had his picture taken with Gerry Fitt, a politician and founder of the Nationalist Social and Democratic Labour Party. Portadown's fanbase was mainly Protestant, and some objected to Tully continuing at the club. Outside of football, Charlie maintained strong ties to Belfast, where he had been born and raised. His wife Carrie came from the city, and Charlie lived out his post-football days there. He also worked in his local community, including running a football club for disabled children. Charlie Tully died sadly and unexpectedly on the 27th of July 1971, having only recently turned 47. His funeral was in many ways symbolic of the positive and negative side of life. On the one hand, thousands turned out on the streets of Belfast to commemorate this wonderful player. Celtic were represented by men such as Jock Stein and Sean Fallon, who had played with Tully, as well as captain Billy McNeil. However, there were problems too. By the end, Tully was very poor and couldn't afford to pay for his own funeral. In addition, Celtic plans for bigger representation at the memorial were rejected by the police and army, owing to the tensions and violence sadly evident across Northern Ireland at this time. Charlie Tully's life was definitely one devoted to football. As well as standout performances as a player for both Belfast and Glasgow Celtic, he went on to have a successful managerial career. His remains a name to evoke smiles of delight from older Celtic fans, or those that recall their parents and grandparents waxing lyrical about Celtic's cheeky chappy, as Tom Campbell's biography title termed him. Younger fans will have also heard tell of Tully, and his name is one that continues to be sung, especially in the chorus of the famous Willie Mealy song. This helps continue his Celtic legacy, and is a fine achievement and accolade for a Celt that was beloved by so many. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X and Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit CelticWalkingTours.wordpress.com for more information.